We're holding on some Machdalot Amud Beis, the first line of the wide lines. We were learning yesterday all about Molech and the whole ritual of it, where we said that according to some Rishonim, where we discussed it involves going between two fires. According to some Rishonim, it doesn't involve burning the child, just having them walk between two fires or jump over a fire. According to other Rishonim, it does involve that the child actually gets burnt. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina, Sholosh Krisis Bavod Azara Lama. Why does it say three times in the Torah Kores in connection with Avodah Zarah? Two in connection with Molech in Parshas Kedoshim, when it tells, so in Parshas Achrimos, it mentions briefly, Omi Zarah Cholosit in Lahavil Amolech, don't give your children to be passed through from Molech, which we analyzed that pasuk yesterday. In Parshas Kedoshim, it mentions Kores for it twice. A few psukim apart, and then you have in Parshas Shlach where it mentions that a person gets kores for avodah zarah in general. Now Rashi points out, we learned yesterday that molech is not necessarily avodah zarah, but still, in a looser sense, we can call it avodah zarah. So we have to understand then why it's saying three times kores in this connection. So Rashi touches out, even if we say that Molech is not avodah zarah, but still we can still learn, still the Gemara is going to be using one of these three times kores that it says to teach us the concept of shaloi kadarka, where he does a worship of Molech not in the usual way. So therefore, so in a general sense, we can call it under the general heading of avodah zarah. So why does it say three times? Achas l'kadarka, one teaches us where he does it the normal way, that he passes his child through the fires, and we're talking about kodesh would be if there's no edim vasra. If there was edim vasra, he'd be getting skila, which is why it's in this perek. Another one teaches us if it's shaloi kadarka, namely if he does one of the four avoidas that we learned a few dafim ago. If he does one of those four avoidas for Moloch. So since you have this extra Moloch, so it's one of these things. So since we don't need it to tell us if he does the ritual with passing the child between the fires, because we already know that from the earlier pasuk, then we can use it for Shaloi Kedarka, where he does some other kind of worship for Moloch, with shechting a korban or burning it, etc. So that's two. And one for Molech itself. In other words, even though it's normal to worship it this way, you still have to write it separately, precisely because Molech is not a regular avodah zarah. Okay. So that covers the three of them. Again, one of them is where he does where he worships. Sorry, one of them is where he worships regular avodah zarah, kedarka. He worships some other avodah zarah, which is normally worshipped in some other way, such as pa'ur or miraculous or what have you, kedarka. Another one, shaloi kedarka, where he does one of the four avodas for some other avodah zarah. So we've learned earlier in the parak that he's chayiv misa for it. How do we know that he's chayiv kares? For that, we need the second kares, and the third one is for molech specifically. Well, the Gemara says, "Olamanda amam avodah zarahi." According to the opinion that we said on Amun Aleph, that molech itself is a regular avodah zarah, kores b'molech lamali. Then, according to that, why do we need to mention kores separately by molech? It's no different in that regard than any other avodah zarah. And the answer is lamavibnoi kedarka. That would teach us that he's also chayiv kares if he does this kind of ritual with the fires for some other avodah zarah where it's not the normal way to worship it. So in other words, like this, we're saying if he does that to Molech, then he's chayiv kares. How would we know? If he just did it, set up the same kind of thing with the brick platform and the fires on both sides of it, like Abaya described, or jumping over a fire, like Rava described, how would we know that he'd be chayiv for such a thing for some other avodah zarah as well? So this maviv b'noi, even though it's not normal to do it for some other avodah zarah, nevertheless, it's a special thing that. Nevertheless, it's a special thing that he'd be chayev that he'd be chayev for that anyway. So that's what the third that he's chayev kores for the third thing. Now Tosfos points out, in other words, that like this, we wouldn't have said that it applies to any other avodah zarah since it's in connection with Moloch. But since we have other psukim about Moloch, then we're using it for that we're reusing it for something else differently. In other words, because in other words, the idea is, after all, we'd have to ask. I mean, we have the four avoidas. Where do we get the idea that we should, in effect, be adding a fifth one to be saying for going through the fire? So therefore, we need to be told separately. Fine, he may not be chayiv misa, but misa's based in for setting up this thing with the fires and doing his child with that, with any other avodah zarah other than Moloch. But nevertheless, that he'd be chayiv kares, that we can learn from this pasuk. Okay. So the Gemara says, now, how about, here's another way, though. One of those three kodesh that it says is in connection, it doesn't actually say that he worships Avodah Zarah, it says he's Megadif, which, as we talked about the other day, means that he blasphemes Hashem. Now, there's two different opinions in the Gemara and Christos what that means. Does it mean worshiping Avodah Zarah, but it can also mean, but instead it can mean, and then instead it can mean cursing Hashem. That then he's chayiv kares if he does it without Aid and Vasra. So Ulamanda Omer Megadif Ulamanda Omer Megadif Lava Vodizorahi. Sorry, Megadif Avodizorahi, according to the opinion that Megadif is Avodizorah. So kares for Megadif Lomali. So then why does it need to mention why does it need to mention kares by Megadif? Namely, in other words, so far what we had is the three choruses that we talked about are the pasuk had said that when a person ki dvar Hashem boza, that he mocked the word of Hashem, that's mitzvah say hefar, and he violated his mitzvah, which refers to avodah zarah, which is considered keneged kol atar kula. So therefore, he kores to kores. Now we're saying, in addition, by megadif, it also says separately in the pasuk before that, it says as Hashem, whom a person who acts high handedly and deliberately against Hashem, as Hashem whom megadif v'nichrusa, he's megadif Hashem, and therefore he gets kores. So according to that, we have a fourth time that it says kores. Now, if you say megadif means a separate thing that he curses Hashem, then fine, you need a separate kores for that. We already know he's chayiv misas based in. We need to also be told that he's chayiv kores. What about according to the? What about according to the according to the opinion that Megadif itself is Ovid Avodah Zarah? Then it means you have yet another one. So kores for Megadif Lomali. And the answer is L'cha d'tanya, he would say that you need that extra chorus to teach us what it says in a braisa as follows. When it says he chorus ti chorus, by Avodah Zarah, by Heifa, which we're saying does refer to Avodah Zarah, it says the double expression he chorus ti chorus. So what does that mean? He chorus for Olam Hazeh, ti chorus for Olam Haba. It means that he gets kores both in this world and the next world. He dies young, and his neshama is cut off in Olam Haba. A divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's how Rabbi Akiva learns. Omalei Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel says, wait a minute, Valo Kvar Nemar, V'nichrasa, the previous pasuk also says, V'nichrasa, by a Megadif. So that would mean three times Kodesh that it says in this connection. V'chi Shloisha Elomim Yesh, are there three worlds? There's this world, and there's the next world. What would the third one be for? Ela, V'nichrasa ba'olam hazeh, he Kodesh la'olam haba. So rather, Rabbi Shmuel says the Venichrasa teaches us he's cut off in this world. The Hikores, from Hikores to Kores, the word Hikores refers to Olam Haba. Tikores, and when it says Tikores, that's just Dibur Torah, Kolashim Ne'adam, that's just the normal way of the Torah talking. Now, Rabbi Akiva is not bothered by that because he holds that Megadif is Mevorech as Hashem, is blaspheming Hashem. So therefore he needs Hikores Tikores to tell us that a person is Chayiv Kores for worshipping Avodah Zarah. Both Rashi and Tosfos point out that given that Rabbi Shmuel knows that Rabbi Akiva says that as Hashem who Megadif refers to somebody who blasphemes Hashem rather than somebody who worships Avodah Zarah, so Rabbi Shmuel is not asking, according to you, Rabbi Akiva, how are you going to learn the pasuk? He's going to say, I learned the pasuk by saying that other one is not talking about Avodah Zarah. He's just explaining himself why, given that I say that Megadif means Avodah Zarah, then why am I not bothered by the fact that there's three? And the answer is Dibur Torah Kolashim Bnei Adam. So the point is, in other words, we are using all the choruses. We're having Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina is saying that one of them refers to when a person worships Avodah Zarah, Kedarka, he's chayiv chorus for it. Another one, when he does, Shaloi Kedarka. but using one of the four avodas. Then the third one is for Moloch. And then if we say that Moloch is, if we say that Moloch itself is avodah zara, then it means if he does mavir bnoi shaloi kadarka, if he does this mavir bnoi for a different avodah zara, where then he's still chayav kares for it, even if not mrs. Basin. And as far as if we say Megadeth Avodah Zarah, he then we're saying Rabbi Shmuel is the one who holds Megadeth Avodah Zarah, and he holds that one of those kares is in fact not necessary, and it's just Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. Okay. Moving along, the next people that it said in the Mishnah back on Daf Nun Gimel who are Chayiv Skila, as we said, but as we said, people who practice Oven Yidoni magic. So now let's talk about that. What is the definition of them? Baal Oiv, the definition of Baal Oiv is a pisaim hamadaba meshechyei. That refers to a pisaim, a type of kishuf, who speaks from his armpit. So what he does is he causes the spirit of the dead person to rise up and speak and speak out of his, out of the magician's armpit, under his arm. The Gemara is going to talk about those hakoshas zroy yosav. Those he flaps or bangs his arms is in connection with that. That's the he does a maisa to cause a noise to come out from under his armpits. The Rambam discusses in more detail that he takes a the Gemara is going to mention that he the Gemara is going to mention that there may be a skull involved. So he takes some kind of thing. He takes a skull or he takes some other accessory like that. He brings certain kinds of ketores and then he and then he does various other things and says various spells and whatever. And he causes that to, and then you hear a faint voice coming from under his armpit. That's the Baal Oiv. So now the Torah is telling us that a person does that is chayav misa. You have, by the way, a big machlokas. The Rambam holds that this and Yidoni and all the other kinds of magic that we're going to discuss over the next couple of blat, the Rambam holds that those are bechlal, not actually really effective. It's all just sleight of hand and trickery. And then the reason why the Torah is answering it to us is because these are foolish things that we Jewish people should have nothing to do with. A number of other Mefarshim disagree very strongly with the Rambam on that. The Vilna Gaon in his notes on Shulchan Aruch even says that basically the Rambam learned too much philosophy and he was led astray by that because in reality these things do have actual power. So it's a big machlokas whether whether they actually have power or whether the Torah is asuing them or whether the Torah is asuing them precisely because they don't have power and the Torah doesn't want us to be involved with such things. Whatever. Anyway, so that's Oiv. V'yidoni, and then when the Torah mentions Yidoni, Zamadabra b'fiv. This is he speaks with his mouth, as we're going to see in the Gemara, how he accomplishes that. He takes a bone of a creature called Yadua, and he puts it in his mouth, and he does the various other rituals, and it causes that the bone itself speaks. There's places in Chassidus, by the way, what the Yidoya is. It's some kind of creature. There's a number of different understandings of what the Yidoya is. Some say it's a kind of bird. Some say it's a creature called in the Mishnah Adnei Hasada, which itself there's some question what it is. Maybe an orangutan or something. And then there's a there's an interesting explanation in some places in Chassidus that the Yadua is the same creature from which we get from which we get the spice myrrh, which is musk in English, and it means, in other words, that it's so on the one hand, we can use it for kedusha, as when myrrh is used as one of the spices of the Torah, and on the other hand, it can be used for koichas atoma like this. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, that the people who actually do the oiven yidoni themselves are chayiv skila. Somebody who consults them, somebody who goes to the magician and says, "Can you do oiv? Can you do yidoni for me?" Is bazhara? He's warned by the Torah. He's being over on. He's being over on a loisase. Rashi says because the pasuk says, "Al tifnu ala oivus." Don't turn to the oivus. So therefore, so he's so, but he's not chayiv skila for it. Meanwhile, the magician himself is the azhora for him. The punishment for him is at the end of Parashas says at the end of Parashas Kedoshim that it says that such a person is chayiv skila, which is why they're in the list of people who are chayiv skila in our perek. But so Rashi learns that the azhora that you're not allowed to do oiven yidoni is the pasuk says lo yimotze b'cha, there should not be found among you, and it lists various kinds of magicians. Tosfos has a problem with that, and they flip it around and say the other way around lo yimotze b'cha is talking about the one who consults it, and the other pasuk, the other pasuk, al tifnu al oivus fala yidonim, refers to the magician himself. Okay, in any case, the point is that so the magician himself is going to be chayav misa for it. The one who consults it is going to be over is going to be over on a lav. So the Gemara says, Mishnah. Now, so we have in our Mishnah, it mentions both Baal Ov and Yudoni. Now we have like this at the beginning of Masechta Krisus, it lists starts by listing the 36 things for which a person would be chayav kares. The Mishnah lists them as 36. A few of them actually can be broken down more finely than Amram does that, for example. And the result is that Amram's list actually includes 43. But in any case, the point, because for example, you have, let's say, as far as we're going to learn in a later perek of our Masechta, we're going to talk about the arayas of a man with his mother or his grandmother or whatever. So that Rambam, the Mishnah kind of collapses them all into one, and that Rambam breaks them out separately. Whatever the case, the point is that you have 36 over there, and the Mishnah starts by listing Shloshim v'sheish krisis batorah. So the Gemara there wonders, in krisis, why does the Mishnah, why does the Tana need to give us a number? We ourselves can count and see that it's 36. And the answer is, it tells us that if a person, most of Masechta Krisis focuses on the chatois that a person would bring if he did these things b'shoigig, the general rule being any loisa said that involves kares, would a person would bring a chatos if he does it b'shoigig. So now the Mishnah says the number 36 to imply that's the maximum number of chatois that a person could possibly bring if he did all these things behelam echad. He didn't know that all these things are aser, and he started doing all these things. He's Machal Shabbos, and he worships Avodah Zarah, and he does Oven, and he does Ove magic, and he duplicates the recipe for the Keturis, and so on and so forth. So he'd be chai of 36 chatois, but no more than that, because anything within those is like a tolda of it. So the point is, now the Mishnah only says over there Baal Oiv, it does not mention Yidoni, unlike our Mishnah that mentions both Oiv and Yidoni. So the Gemara asks, Mishnah Hocha Tekotani Baal Oiv Yidoni, why is it in our Mishnah, or rather in the earlier Mishnah in our Perek, when it said, when it lists all the Chayv Eskila, so it mentioned Baal Oiv V'Yidoni, and then our Mishnah goes and spells out what is Oiv and what is Yidoni, or Mishnah Gabi Krisus Tekotani Baal Oiv V'Shayr Yidoni. Why is it in Masechta Krisus where it lists only Oiv and does not mention Yidoni? Why not? So the answer is Rabbi Yechon Omar, Hoyle Shnein Balav Echad Nemru, because the Torah says them both within one lav. The Torah says, Al Tifnu Ela Oiris Ve'el Ayidonim. So therefore, so when it comes to a chatas, if he did both of them, he'd be bringing only one chatas. Now, each one individually, he'd be chayev, but the point is that since the whole point of giving the number over there is to say this is the maximum number of chatois that he could be bringing, if he were to do all the other 35 things that it says over there, plus he did oiv, plus he did yudoni, he wouldn't be bringing 37 chatois, only 36, because oiv and yudoni are both under the same, they're both under the same lav. Now, on the other hand, if a person does both of them, he'd be chayav b'mezid, he'd be chayav kores twice, but that's the fact that he's chayav separate kores doesn't mean that he's chayav separate chatoris, Rashi describes in some detail over here. You have something similar, for example, you have something similar as far as, for example, misusing the shemen, compound, duplicating the recipe of the shemen amishcha, or putting some of the original shemen amishcha on his skin, which are also two of the which are also two of the of the which are also two of the of the of the of the of the chayve krisus, and therefore chayove chatois that I mentioned over there. And there you have two separate lavim, but you have only one kares. So therefore, so if he but if he were to do them separately in one halam, he'd be chayev two chatois. So we see that it goes according to the number of lavim. Rashi says not the number of not the number of times he's chayev kares, and therefore here it's the other way around. Even though there's a separate kares for oiv and for yudoni, but since the lav is only one, then therefore he'd be chayev only one, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan says in the Mishnah in Krisos it doesn't mention both oiv and yudoni, only the one of them. Rish Lakish, Omer. Rish Lakish has a different explanation. Yidoni l'fisha in b'maisa. The reason why Yidoni is not listed in the Mishnah in Christus is because there's no maisa over there. Even if he were to do it by himself, by itself, Rish Lakish holds, since there's no maisa, he wouldn't bring a chatas for it. A chatas a person brings only if there's a maisa involved. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan. Now let's go back to Rabbi Yochanan then. Mishnah Baal Oiv D'Nokat. So then we have to ask, according to Rabbi Yochanan, fine, if in the Mishnah in Christus has to list only one or the other of them before his for the reason that he said, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, if he did both of them, he'd be chayiv only one chatas, then why does it mention Baal Oiv instead mention Baal Yudoni? In other words, why Davka pick Oiv and mention it? Now you could ask, and what if it had said you'd only wouldn't you ask why it says Oiv? The reason is L'Oruch HaNer says precisely that. Rabbi Yochanan might say precisely because Rish Lakish is saying there's no Maisa and maybe a person shouldn't be Chayav Chatos according to Rabbi Yochanan Fakert. It should have clearly said you'd only, and that way it would make it clear, not like Rish Lakish, that he is in fact Chayav Chatos for it. And the answer is Mishum de Pasach Beikra, because the Pasach starts by mentioning Oiv, it mentions first Oiv, then Yidoni, so therefore the Mishnah, since it needs to mention only one of them, it starts with the first one that is there, it starts with the first one that's there. All right. The Gemara says, Rish Lakish, my time, like Omaka Rabbi Yechanan. So now, in turn, why doesn't Rish Lakish say like Rabbi Yechanan that it's listing that the that it's listing on, that it's listing only Oiv, that because if he were to do both of them Behelam Echad, he'd be Chayiv one Chatos. So whereas according to him, again, the vote was that for Yidoni, a person is not Chayiv Chatos at all. Why does he have to learn that way? So the answer is Amar Papa Chalukin Hein B'Misa, because Rav Papa says, Rish Lakish says, listen, they are separate as far as Misa. When it comes to Misa, the Torah does mention separately a person does Oiv or Yidoni Mos Yumasu. So therefore, Rish Lakish says Fakert. It would mean that as far as a korban, it should be separate. It should be separate ones. The only reason why he'd be potter from a chatas in the case of Yidoni is because there's no maisa. So the Mishnah would have, the Mishnah does not mention. So the fact, so the Mishnah cannot mention Yidoni because there's no chatas. In other words, Rish Lakish would say, if I were to learn like Rabbi Yochanan that the only reason it's listing only one of them is because he's chayav only one chatas. No, hypothetically, he would actually be chayav two chatois. And just as a practical matter, Yidoni doesn't involve a ma'isa, and therefore there can't be a chatas for it. So therefore, he's forced to learn that in fact there would have been separate chatois for them, not like Rabbi Yochanan the same, because they come from one lab. But there's a reason why there's no Chatas by Yidoni as a side issue is because there's no Maisa. V'Rabbi Yechanan, where's Rabbi Yechanan? We're answering back. Chalukah de lav, chalukah de lav, shmo chalukah. Demisa lo shma chalukah. Rabbi Yechanan would take the view that when the pasuk has separate lavim, then we can say that it means there's separate chatois. But when the Torah has one lav to cover both of them, and there's only one, and then there's two separate statements as far as misa, whereby misa it says clearly oiv o yidoni. Oiv o yidoni, as opposed to by the lav, it says with a vav. So Rabbi Yochanan would hold that that's not that that when you have a distinction of lavim, then that's enough to make it a difference of chatois. So for example, let's say to use Rashi's example before about duplicating the Shemen HaMishcha and smearing the Shemen HaMishcha on one's skin, the Torah mentions them as separate lavim. Don't duplicate it and don't smear any on your skin. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan would hold that's enough to make them two chatois. But when you have one lav, like over here, Al Tifnu Ela Ovis Ve'ela Yidonim, without saying separately that there's a don't turn to Ovis, don't turn to Yidonim. And then you have by the Misa, it mentions them separately. Rabbi Yochanan holds that's not enough to make it a distinction as far as Chatois. Fine. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yochanan, my time like Omer Rish Lakish." Fine, but why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan? So it's fine. That's how Rabbi Yochanan would infer what Rish Lakish is saying. I chalukin heim b'misa. Rabbi Yochanan would say that's not enough of a reason to say that they should be considered separate chatois. But we have to ask more generally, why does Rabbi Yochanan not hold like Rish Lakish that Yidoni should be potter from chatos altogether? Doesn't he agree that you need a ma'isa in order to be chayav a chatos? And the answer is Amalach Masnissin de Christus Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Yochanan says the Mishnah in Christus is according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Amaloi in Maisa, he says that in fact you don't need a Maisa in order to be Chayav Achatas, and we know that because one of the ones that's on the list in the Mishnah in Christus is Megadef, and we just talked about in the Gemara at the bottom of the previous Amud that according to Rabbi Akiva, Megadef means someone who curses Hashem. There's no Maisa involved; he's just talking, and nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva is Machayev Achatas if he did it. So therefore, we see that according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't need a maaseh in order to be chayav achatas. So the Gemara asks, Rish Lakish, what would Rish Lakish answer to that? He says, Nihi delay bo delay boy Rabbi Akiva Maaseh Rabba. Fine, Rabbi Akiva may not require a big maaseh to actually do something. It's enough according to Rabbi Akiva that he says something to make him chayav achatos. But maaseh zuta boy, even Rabbi Akiva says Rish Lakish would require a small maaseh. Myudoni is not doing anything at all because before, of course, he does something. He puts the bone in his mouth, but afterwards, the bone itself, the bone talks by itself, and he's not doing anything. So therefore, at least how the Rambam would understand that is a whole other question. But in any case, according to Rish Lakish, according to the simple understanding that you'd only the bone actually itself speaks. So he did something. He did a preparation for it. But now, when it comes to the actual you'd only magic, he's not doing anything. He's just a passive conduit through which it's coming, as opposed to by Oiv, where since the voice is coming out from under his arms, then as the Gemara is going to say, he moves his arms for that purpose. So that's the Gemara says, my Magadif, first of all, Magadif, my sake. First of all, we have to ask if according to Rabbi Akiva, you need at least some kind of Maisa. What kind of Maisa is there in Magadif and cursing Hashem according to Rabbi Akiva? And the answer is, Akima Sfasiv, Havi Maisa. Moving his lips is considered a Maisa. This is it. This point, Akima Sfasiv, Havi Maisa, comes up, of course, in many other contexts as well. And among other things, it comes up, the Alter Rebbe brings it in Tanya in connection with the idea that mitzvahs in general require a physical action to do. And an example of that is we have a number of mitzvahs that involve speaking, like saying Krishna and davening and whatever. And that's fine because Akima Sfasiv, Havi Maisa in the positive sense. But by Yidoni, again, he's not even moving his lips. Okay, the Gemara says, "Bal oiv my maaseik." Fine. What kind of action is there when he's doing oiv? And the answer is hakosha zroes of having maaseik, moving and banging his arms, which is that's what causes the sound, the voice to come out from under his armpit. That itself is the maaseik. So therefore, according to Rish Lakish, there is in fact each one of the things listed in Masechta Krisos involves a Maisa. In the case of Megadif, it's speaking. In the case of oiv, it's moving and flapping his arms. So therefore, he says a person rechayev chatas for those. But according to him, yudoni, there's no maisa at all when it comes to the actual yudoni, and therefore he'd be potter from chatas even if he did it by itself. Meanwhile, we said Rabbi Yechanan holds that all it is if he does oiv separately, he'd be chayev chatas. Yudoni separately, he'd be chayev chatas. Only if he does the both of them together, is he bringing only one chatas because there's only one lav that covers the two of them. Okay. So the Gemara continues. So you're telling me that according to Rish Lakish, even the Chachamim would hold that the banging his arms is considered a maaseh. V'hotanya, we learn in a braisa, when it comes to a person who worships Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, what is a person chayev if he worships a avodah zarah b'shogeg? Is only when there's a maase involved, one of the four avodas that we talked about earlier in our parak. And Rish Lakish points out, man tana ishtachava, which tana is it that says that he'd be chayev a chatas for bowing to avodah zarah? That he's chayev that we established earlier in the parak, but that he should be chayev a chatas if he did it b'shogeg. Rish Lakish says only Rabbi Akiva holds that. Mantane Shtachavar Rabbi Akiva, he drama loybin in Maisa, who says that you don't require a Maisa, that according to him it's enough a Maisa cotton. Now, Rish Lakish would hold that bowing is also considered a Maisa cotton. It's considered only a minor Maisa, and therefore only Rabbi Akiva would hold that he's Chayev Achatas for it. So it comes out according to Rish Lakish's understanding that the Chachamim would disagree with that. They would say that he's not chayev achatas for bowing to Avodah Zarah. So then, what are you telling me that when it comes to banging his arms, that would be enough of a maisa for the Chachamim to say that that's considered a maisa and for him to be chayev chatas for it? How is that? So that's the question. So Rabbi Yochanan Omar, so and Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Afilu Tamei Rabbanan, that actually you could say that Mishnah goes even according to the Chachamim. Kfifas kaimasei l'Rabbanan havi ma'isa, because when it comes to bowing, he's bending down, and then even according to the Chachamim, that would be enough of a ma'isa. Well, the Gemara asks, then what's the law? So fine, that explains according to Rabbi Yochanan. But the hashda le Rish Lakish kfifas kemasei le rabbanon le have a maaseh. So you're telling me though, according to Rish Lakish bowing down, the fact that he bows his head and his body, according to the Chachamim, is not considered enough of a maaseh, and that's why he explains that hishtachava is chayev chatas only according to Rabbi Akiva. Hakoshes ra'os of the baal oiv havi maaseh. How could he possibly hold that according to the Chachamim, banging his arms, which is an even lesser maaseh, should be considered a maisa. So therefore, so how can Rish Lakish say that that Baal Oiv would be chayev achatos? And it sounds like he's saying even according to the Chachamim, it comes out from what he's saying only Rabbi Akiva would be mechayev achatos for it. So the Gemara says, fine, kikam Rish Lakish nami le Rabbi Akiva. Fine, when Rish Lakish is saying that banging his arms and thereby causing the dead to speak with Oiv is he'd be chayev achatos only le Rabbi Akiva. But according to the Chachamim, indeed, Rish Lakish would have to say that the Chachamim are not going to be mechayev and mechatas for that. Well, the question is, yihachi yotze megadif for baal oiv miboylei. Then, in that case, then so it comes out now. So that braisa that we said before. So that braisa that we said before, that the Chachamim are being mechayev only when there's a maisa, and the Chachamim said, therefore it includes Megadif, therefore it includes Rabbi Akiva's, it excludes rather Rabbi Akiva's definition of Megadif, which means cursing Hashem, because according to them, that's not, they don't hold Akima Sfasiv, Havi Maisa. Well then, if we're saying that now, according to Rish Lakish, we're saying that that the Chachamim would necessarily have to say that bowing is not a maisa, and therefore, and that because he says that braisa that makes him chayev chatas for bowing is according to, specifically to Rabbi Akiva, and therefore it comes out that according to that, a person who does oiv wouldn't be chayev chatas according to the Chachamim either. So then the braisa should say yotz megadif uval oiv miboylei. The braisa should say that the Chachamim are pattering him from achatas in both cases, both Megadif and Baal Oiv. So what are we? So and the Braisa doesn't say that. It sounds like according to everybody, a person who does Oiv is Chayev. Now why? If the Chachamim are not going to be Mechayev according to Rish Lakish, even for bowing to Avodah Zarah, which is a much bigger Maisa, why would they be Mechayev him for Oiv, which is a smaller Maisa? So the Gemara says, fine. Ella oma ula b'mekater l'shed. So Ula says, fine. But the reason why the person who does oiv is chayv achatas, even according to the Chachamim, is because would be where he's bringing a korban to a shed, which is in charge of that kind of thing. He's bringing a korban to the shed, that the shed should help him with this oiv magic. So therefore, that's for sure. Bringing a korban like that is for sure considered a maisa. So as opposed to the bowing is less than the, so if it was just a stam, in other words, there's a difference between stam bal oiv. Oiv may involve bringing a korban or it may not. Here, Ula is saying when it involves bringing something in honor of the shed that's now going to help him out with his oiv magic, then that would be when the chacham machayev him. But it's true that if he were to just do oiv by itself without that and just do a kosher siro yosef, then the chacham would say that he's potter from a chatas and only the bakivah would be mechayev him. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rava." So Rava says to Ula, "What's the then? In that case, mekatal a shed over davar es kachavim who bring a korban to a shed is flat out avodah zarah. Then he's mechayev. Then he's chayev already for avodah zarah. Then you don't need to mention separately the fact that he's doing it in order to enable his oiv." Ela Omer Rava, so Rava says, rather fine, the case that you'd have to say, according to the Chachamim, according to Rish Lakish's understanding of the Chachamim, where he's Chayev Kores, and therefore he's Chayev Achatas, for doing it B'Shoigig, would be Mimakato L'Chavar, L'Chaber, where he's bringing the korban, he's bruning something in order to gather the Shadim together. So in order to accomplish the kishuf. So in other words, what Ula was saying, b'makato l'shed, means he's burning something in honor of the shed in order that the shed should do what he wants. Now Rava is saying that actually it's not that he's doing it in order to make the shed feel good and do what he wants. He's not doing it. He's not considering the shed a god. But what he's doing is he's doing the korban in order to gather the shadim together, like this, so to speak. They'll all gather around the korban because they'll be attracted by it. And then once they're there, then he can have them do what he wants, which is the oiv magic. So that would be the case where the chacham maragwin. That's definitely a maisa that would make him chayev kores or achatas. By the way, that was the Goyish concept in those times, that you bring a korban and you have a famous old Babylonian text about this, for example, that has their version of the story of the Mabul, where it has that their version of Noyach, whatever he's called, in their epic over there, that he brings a korban, and they said the gods gather around it like flies. So like Kayla, like they're attracted by the smell of the burning meat, and they all come running. So the same way over here, we're talking about that he's burning something in order to attract the Shadim to come. Abaya says that still doesn't work. That's a separate issue. Makato l'chaber, if he's burning a korban in order to gather the shadim together, then that's a different issue, where the Torah says among the list of kinds of magic that you can't do is choiver chover, which means gathering things together. Now that's not misa, that's only a lav. So then how are you telling me that if a person were to do that, he would be chayav kores and he would be bringing a chatas? So the answer is ain. Yes, it is only chover chover, says Rava. However, the Torah says this kind of chover chover you can have. There's a kind of chover chover where he's using it, as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, to gather different kinds of creatures, different kinds of gashmiistic creatures together, such as, for example, snakes or scorpions or whatever. That kind would be a lav. But then you have the kind over here where he's trying to gather the shadim together. That would be where he's, the Torah saying he's chayiv skila when he does it b'mezid, and therefore he'd be chayiv kores if he does it without edim v'hasra, and achatos if he does it b'shoyting. So, but that's the answer. So, in other words, according to the Shlokish, that would be the scenario where the Chachamim are being mechayiv chatos for oiv, not when he just does the oiv by itself, where he's not bringing this korban, because the Chum wouldn't consider flapping his arms and banging his arms to be enough of a maaseh, according to the Shlokish's understanding of it. They don't even say that bowing is considered a maaseh enough to be mechayev him. But they would say that if he brings this korban, if he brings this ketura, so whatever, in order to cause the shadim to gather, yes, usually we would categorize that as chover chover, but here it would be the kind of chover chover that actually gets a misa, and therefore that could get him kores or achatas. Well, having talked about chover chover, let's talk about that concept a little bit. Tananabanan, chover chover, when the Torah says, now the word chover literally means to gather, to join together. So chover chover is a type of magic that involves joining different things together. So echad chover gadol, whether we're talking about kishuf that's used to gather together large animals, like lions or whatever, the echad chover katan, or whether he's doing it to gather together little animals with kishuf, snakes and things like that, even if he's using this chover chover magic to gather together snakes and scorpions, where the point is that either Rashi says he wants to do that in order that this way they'll fight with each other. This way, instead of bothering him and other people around, this way they'll fight each other because snakes and scorpions are natural enemies. Or Rashi says another possibility, he wants to use this chover chover magic in order to cause them to gather in the desert or someplace far away from people so they won't harm people. So even though he's doing it for those kinds of purposes, would still be osur. So again, since it's not burning ketores in order to attract shadim, he's not chayiv misa for it, but nevertheless, it would be allowed. Amar Abaya says in this connection, Hilkach, therefore, we can learn from this, Haimad, Summit, Zibura, Va'akrava. If a person uses kishuf to gather together a hornet and a scorpion, two dangerous stinging creatures, afagav to come kavan to loy lizku, even though his only kavana is that they shouldn't harm him because these are both dangerous creatures that could sting people and kill them, nevertheless, also it's still also for him to do it. Now Rashi points out, if they're chasing after him, then that's different because then there's pikuach nefesh, and pikuach nefesh is doicha most things in the Torah, as we're going to learn later on in our Masechta. But here we're talking about where there's a here we're talking about where there's a where there's no sakana involved. Now there are Rishonim will point out that wait a minute, then what's the chiddush? Of course, if it's a makom sakana, then of course it's mutter, and if not, then and then and if not, then so the Gemara in Chrysos actually mentions this point as well. I'm taka what Rashi is saying over here, that if they're chasing him, then it's mutter. So Rashi says over here, because pikuach nefesh, the Gemara there actually makes that point. And Tosfos there in Chrysos points out, well, wait a minute, then what's the chiddush? Of course, makom sakana, it would be mutter. So in fact, there's an answer. The Shevet HaLevi, in fact, gives an answer that when we're in fact there is it is mutter to do kishuf when you have when it's in, when it's something that's known to work for refuah. So therefore, in a similar way, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that when you have something that's known to work as a refuah, then it's not considered davkei ha'emodi. It's not considered the superstitious ways of the goyim, and therefore you're allowed to do it. So to say, there are rishonim who learn that in the same way you would even be able to do actual kishuf in order to save a person's life for refuah, and therefore that's the point that chayv v'chaver is in the same category, and he would be allowed to do it in order to save his life or somebody else's life, namely where the hornet or the scorpion or whatever are chasing him with intent to sting. Okay, the Gemara continues. Okay, so far we've entered Rish Lakish. We've explained how Rish Lakish would understand the opinions of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, respectively, about when he's Chayiv Chatos and when not. Let's get back to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Maishno de Kfifas Kemosi le Rabbanan Havi Maisa. Why is it according to him that bending down to worship, to bow in front of the Avodah Zarah would be considered a Maisa, according to the Chachamim, to the extent that he would be Chayiv Chatos for it? Because unlike Rish Lakish, who said before that the Braisa that mentioned Ishtachavah as being Chayiv Chatos is only according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan holds it's according to the Chachamim as well. So why according to them, why according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Chachamim would that be considered a Maisa? Vakimas Sfas of Loi Havi Maisa. Whereas according to the Chachamim, moving his lips and cursing Hashem is not considered a Maisa. Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, is not drawing a distinction like Rish Lakish did between a big Maisa and a small Maisa. According to the Chachamim, any case where there's a Maisa, he'd be Chayev. So why are they exempting Megadif? And the answer is Amar Rav Shaini Megadif Hayov Yeshne Belev. The difference is that Megadif involves the main chiyuv is that he has the intention to speak out and to curse Hashem. So on the now, let's say for example, if he had been using the name of Hashem, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, like we talked before, but let's say he didn't know that it refers to Hashem. There's something else that he's used the name Hashem for, and he's cursing that. He wouldn't be chayev for that. So in other words, it's not just the speaking; it's also the thinking. Now Rashi point now Tosfos points out Ishtachavah also involves a thought in the heart, because we said before that we learned a few dafim ago about Me'avo Me'ira, and we talked about you can have a case where a person is bowing to a statue of a king, and unless he intends to accept the king as his god, he's not chayev for anything. So Tosfos brings that actually we find with Sancheiriv, the Pasuk refers to, we talked about a few days ago, when Rav Shekei came with the whole message from Sancheiriv and is blaspheming and reviling Hashem and saying that what makes you think Hashem is going to save you? He doesn't have any power more than any of the other Getchkes, etc., etc. And the Pasuk calls him Choshev al Hashem Ra, the one who thought badly about Hashem. So we see that Megadif, more than anything else, depends on Machshava. Then Tosfos also refers to the fact. Now, in that sugya of Av Avayira, Tosfos had pointed out that the heter of Av Avayira would only be when it's not an established Avodah Zarah. Here, it's an established Avodah Zarah, so then it doesn't really matter so much what his intentions are. As opposed to Megadif, it really matters what his actual intentions are. In fact, the Meshech Chochma, the Ran, and the Meshech Chochma make an interesting point. Actually, that if the Beis Din can't punish a person based on his machshavas, because they can't possibly know what he was thinking, but if they knew, they would actually execute him maybe only for machshava, because by avodah zarah, machshava kodesh bochum etzar for lemaisa. But because they can't know, then therefore they can't unless he actually speaks it out. But primarily, it depends on what he's thinking in his heart. All right, the Gemara says, Mosiv Reb Zera. So Reb Zera says then, so you're telling me that in Megadif, there is, so again, according to Rava's explanation, then we're saying Megadif is not exclusively just moving his lips. It also depends on Machsheves HaLev. It also depends what he's thinking in his heart, and therefore the Chum say he's not Chayev for that. But what about the Braisa over there says, as far as the Braisa says, as far as when is a person chayav chatos, yotzu edim zomimin, we have to exclude edim zomimin. They're not chayav chatos, she'en behen maisa, because there's no maisa, because they're only speaking. Now v'amai halasnu b'lev. Now why? When it comes to edos, it doesn't matter what they're thinking. All it means is. All it is that they're speaking. There it doesn't matter kavanas alev or not, as long as they're saying they're eidos then and being mechayev in misa or malchus or what have you, then they're chayev as well. So you see that it doesn't matter whether there's kavanas halev or not. Tosfos points out that listen, I mean, you don't even need hasra for Edom Zomim. So what makes us think anyway? Why do we even need a pasuk to tell us they're potter from a chatas? Why would we think they'd be chayav a chatas? The fact is that we see that they can be killed for even doing their thing b'shogeg. They don't need hasra. But Tosfos says, let's say, for example, we know that they were made, let's say they were shown to be Edom Zomim before the Gemar Din. So they're not going to be Chayav Misa at this point, because only after Gemar Din, before the person is executed, are they Chayav Misa. But never, so we would have thought maybe at that point they should be bringing a korban. Another point is that maybe, let's say, if they themselves said we were lying, so we can't necessarily undo their edus, but nevertheless, maybe they should be Chayav a korban. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, shiny Edom Zomim, however yesh nevekoil." The difference is that with Edom Zomim, their chiyuv is only because of the voice, is only because the dayanim hear their voice and they're mechayevim based on that. And the voice is not something substantial; it's ein by mamash. There's no mamashus in his voice. So in that sense, it's similar to Megadif, where it only depends on his thought. The koil, little Yechon, lav ma'isahu, well, actually, it's going to be a question rather. So therefore, Rava says, so the Edom Zomim, we can't be mechayev in them on the basis of koil because their chiyuv is because the aid is because the dayanim hear their voice. Now, an interesting point is the Ran doesn't like that explanation because then what? Still, how is it any different than Megadif? Their voice also has to be heard. So first of all, Tosfos has a different gersois over here. But anyway, the Ran gives an interesting explanation. It's possible for them to give Eidos without actually moving their lips. There's four letters in the Aleph Beis, Beis, Mav, Vav, Mem, and Pei that require the lips, but the other letters of the Aleph Beis do not, so therefore you can't consider it a Maisa. The fact that he makes motions with his tongue or whatever inside his mouth wouldn't be considered a Maisa. So then, and it's possible for them to say Eidos without having any of those four letters in what they're saying. So the Gemara asks. So the Gemara asks the koil of Rabbi Yochanan lav ma'isahu. You're telling me according to Rabbi Yochanan, something that involves just him doing something with his voice is not considered a ma'isa. V'ha'itmar. We have a discussion when we have in Bava Metzia the whole concept of like sachsim shor b'dishoy that you're not allowed to muzzle an ox or any other animal while it's doing farm work for you, while it's threshing the grain. So we talk about it there in the Gemara. Chosma b'koil. What about if he muzzled the animal with his voice? The animal started eating and he yelled at it, so it stopped eating. Or another example where we have the Torah tells us you can't hitch up two different types of animals to a plow or a wagon or whatever. That would be the issue of kilayim. And so what happens? What happens if he made the animals move with his voice? So he hitched them up to the wagon, and then he yelled at them and they started moving and pulling the wagon. Would he be chayev? Rabbi Yochanan Amar chayev. V'resh Lakish Amar Potter. Rabbi Yochanan says he'd be chayev Malkus for either of those. V'resh Lakish says he's Potter. Rabbi Yochanan Amar chayev Akimas Piv L'Havi Ma'isa. Rabbi Yochanan holds that moving his lips is considered a Ma'isa. V'resh Lakish Amar Potter Akimas Piv L'Havi Ma'isa. And V'resh Lakish holds that moving his lips is not considered a Ma'isa. So therefore, he'd be Potter from Malkus. So we talked about on Amud Aleph what kind of maisa you need in order to be chayev, kores or a chatas or whatever. But in any case, the point is, we're saying over here that Rish Lakish holds that that's not enough to be considered, that that's not considered to be enough of a maisa. Tosfos points out that Rish Lakish himself holds that a person could get malchus even for a lav shein b'maisa, but he's talking about over here according to the opinion that you don't get malchus for a lav shein b'maisa, which we touched on the other day in the Gemara. Anyway, the point is, we see from that Rabbi Yochanan holds that his voice is enough to be mechayev. Ela Amar Rava shiny Edom Zomim however yeshnan b'riyah. So rather, Rava says the difference is that with Edom Zomim, the main chiyuv is that they're saying that they saw something. The seeing is not a ma'isa, and therefore you can't really say that there's a ma'isa involved. Even though later on they come and say it in Beis Din, but nevertheless the main chiyuv comes from what they claim that they saw. Now the Rif has a girsa over here, not b'riyah, but rather b'iyah. Meaning that it's possible for a person to become an Eid Zomim
just by saying "iya," which is a word that means yes. In fact, in Arabic, that's one of the ways of saying yes is a word like "i" or "i" or something like that. So therefore, and the point is, again, there's no moving lips involved. So the Ran, based on that, explains when we said before "yeshne b'kol." The Ran explains that that "yeshne b'kol" meant the same kind of thing. That, in other words, they don't. They, first, we said that they don't need to use a bays or vav or mem or pay, and therefore they don't need to move their lips. Now we're saying that the difference is that here you don't even need. Not only he doesn't need to move his lips, he doesn't need to move anything in his mouth. Really, all he needs is to say ear or something like that, which doesn't involve moving his tongue or anything like that. All it involves is something from his throat. So when Rabbi Yechon, according to that, when Rabbi Yechon is saying that if he uses his voice to be choisim the animal, to muzzle the animal or to cause it to move, would mean that he's using other letters of the Aleph Beis in that. But when it comes to Edom, it's possible to do it only with this kind of statement, like "Iya," yes, meaning in other words, yes, I saw this, and therefore that would be enough to be mechayev him, and therefore, so therefore that is the reason that why Edom Zimin are potter from a korban. If it weren't for that, then yes, they would be chayev. But when it comes to Megadeth, where it actually involves saying things that are that use other parts of his mouth, then there's considered enough of a maaseh. So Rava says that on the other hand, there yeshne b'lev, it also requires that he's thinking about it in his mind and having in mind to do this, and therefore we can say that therefore we can say that according to the Chachamim, he'd be potter from a chatos for that. Fine. So that covers the whole machlokas of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. So the bottom line is there's a machlokas between them whether a person is chayev achatas for doing yidoni, where there's not much of a ma'aseh. And in the course of that, we talked about the different other cases when according to them when according to them according to Rabbi Akiva versus according to the Chachamim, a person would be chayev achatas for doing any of these various things. Let's get back to the actual oiv and yidoni. A baal oiv is where he causes the mess, where he causes the spirit of the mess to speak from between his joints. So, like the mess, the spirit of the mess comes and sits on one of his joints, and then it speaks from over there. So Rashi describes it could be, for example, on his finger joints or on his knee joints or whatever, or from under his armpit. Yidoni, and the definition of Yid, which, as we said on Amud Aleph, that involves that he's moving those body parts, like Karshas Royosa, for example, moving and then banging his arms to make the sound. Yidoni zamaniach etzim, yadua b'fiv. Yidoni is where he puts a bone of a creature called yadua in his mouth, and the bone speaks on its own, which we talked about before, what the possible definitions of the yadua is. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, I have a contradiction to that. You're telling me that the oiv involves his joints, but you have a pasuk, v'hoya ka'oiv me'eretz koylech. The Navi is telling the Jewish people how there's going to come a point during Golos when you're going to be very low, very lowly, and your voice will be like oiv from the ground. So in other words, like a very faint voice that comes from the ground. My love to mishtoi kiyochei. Doesn't that mean, in other words, that the mess's voice is heard normally from the grave? So therefore, so we see, in other words, it doesn't involve joints or anything like that. And the answer is like, no, it comes up and it comes up and it sits on the joints. But because it's a mess and he doesn't have any chayus anymore, therefore the voice is very low and faint. But it does and then it speaks, but it speaks in a very low voice. So the pasuk, in other words, when it says "v'hoya ka'oiv me'eretz koylech," means your voice will be low, like when the oiv comes up from the ground and sits on the baal oiv's joints and speaks. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. You have a story. You have the story of Shaul consulting with the baalas oiv, the story of Shaul and the witch. And the pasuk says, "Vatomer Ishal Shol." The woman says to Shol, "Elikim Reisi Olam Min Haaretz." I saw Elikim, which at the beginning of the Masechta we talk about Elikim means very distinguished Dayanim, which is referring over here to Shmuel. So I saw Elikim coming up from the ground. So again, my love to Mishtoi Ki Urchi. Doesn't she mean that the mess that Shmuel in this case is speaking from where he came up from the ground? And the answer is again, "Loi Di Yosef Ben Aprokim Mishtoi." No, again, it means that the mess sits on the joints and speaks. So here she's doing her oiv magic because she's causing the spirit of Shmuel to settle on one of her joints and it speaks in a low voice from there. So there are, by the way, Mefarshim, aside from the whole general machlokas that we were talking about before, where the Rambam holds that all these kinds of magic are really just sleight of hand and trickery and whatever, and there's no actual validity to any of them, there are also a number of the Mefarshim on the Pesukim over there in Shmuel that explain that basically the woman, the Balasov, faked the whole thing, and she didn't actually have the power to bring the neshama of Shmuel, the tzaddik, down. On the other hand, here and in other places, the Gemara seems to take it as a given that she actually was able to. There's Gemara and Chagiga about it. There's Or Gemara. There's others. Okay, the Gemara continues. Tanan Rabbanan, Baal Oiv. How does a Baal Oiv work? Echad Amala B'Zchuroi. There can be that he brings up the spirit to rest on zchuroi, on the male organ, on the male organ. That can mean his own that can mean his own male organ, or it can mean of the of the mess. So in other words, it can be. So Rashi just says that it means mala b'schura. It means Rashi just says that mala u'moshev is a mess al zachrusay, that he makes the mess sit on his zachrus. The Oruch HaNer explains that Rashi means that he has things pointed in such a way that his joints are facing towards the zachrus, towards the male organ of the mess. Tosfos actually says that then how would that work by Shol? She was a woman. So rather it means, in other words, that the zachrusay doesn't mean his male organ. It just means it's a type of kishuv. Zchura is just another name, for the technique of Oiv. The Echad Anishu B'Gugolos, or whether he consults the Oiv using a skull, that he uses Kishuv to make the skull talk. Ma ben zelazeh, what's the difference between using Zachrusay versus using the skull? The difference is Mala B'Zchuray, Eina Oila Kedarkoi. When he uses zechuroi, however, Rashi and Tosfos define it respectively, eina ola kedarkoi, the mess, the spirit of the mess, does not come up in its normal way; it comes upside down. Ve'eina ola b'Shabbos, and also you can't bring them up on Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere explains that that's why. Now, the Psukim in Shmuel, when it tells over there about the story of Shaul and the Balas Oiv, it says she was very frightened, and she, like this Shaul had come there in disguise. He didn't tell her that he was King Shaul because she was nervous. Shaul had previously done what the Torah says and gotten rid of all the Balei Oiv and Yidoni from Eretz Yisrael and killed them or forced them to leave or whatever. So now she's nervous that Shaul's going to find out what I'm doing. So Shaul tells her, "Don't worry, you won't." And he pretends like he's not Shaul. Then, though, when she sees Shmuel coming up, the pasuk says she screamed and she said, "Wait, you're Shaul." How does she know? The Gemara elsewhere explains because based on this Gemara over here, that normally the mess comes upside down, but here, out of respect for Shaul, it came right side up. So therefore, she realized out of respect for Shaul, the king. So therefore, she realized he must be the king. But we see she was using the Schuroi method. So normally he would come upside down. And in this case, only because of out of honor for Shaul did he come right side up. But also, it wouldn't work on Shabbos, that Nisha, but Gugolos, on the other hand, if he uses a skull and makes the skull speak, Oila Kadarko, then it causes the mess to come up in the normal direction, head first, the Oila B'Shabbos, and such a thing can be accomplished on Shabbos as well. The Gemara says, "What do you mean, Oila? What do you mean, comes up? Lahecha Solik, where does he come up? Hokamei Manach, what do you mean? The mess is right in front of him. I mean, the skull is right there. Rather, what it means is that not oile it comes up, but oine it speaks. Kedarkoi, normally, meaning the skull itself speaks, rather than having to sit on his joints, and such a thing can be accomplished on Shabbos as well. Okay, so we're saying that normal oiv magic cannot be done on Shabbos. So the Gemara brings in this connection. Va'af she'lazu sholot shol tunis rufus harosha esrabakiva. We find that Turnus Rufus HaRosha, the Roman governor of Eretz Yisrael at that time, was asked Rabbi Akiva this. This is we have in different and in different midrashim. You have different questions that Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, and then this is one of them. By the way, you have also Turnus Rufus was the Roman governor who eventually oversaw the execution of Rabbi Akiva, and also we have a Turnus Rufus where it says that he died and Rabbi Akiva married his Amona, that his Amona had come to seduce Rabbi Akiva. It's a story in Masechet Nedarim. We're going to get to it soon in Ein Yaakov. And then eventually, after her husband died, she did tshuva and became a geodis, and Rabbi Akiva ended up marrying her. Anyway, so evidently there are two different Turnus Rufuses. So the one who's asking over here might be the original one, or it might be later on his successor who had the same name and is the one who ended up overseeing Rabbi Akiva's execution. Anyway, so he's asking about Kippur. Omaloi asks him, "Ma yom u'ma yom miyamayim? What's special about this day of Shabbos from every other day? You Jews say that Shabbos is a special day. Who says it's anything more special than any other day?" Marshall says, really, there's three questions he's asking. Well, actually, we'll get to the three questions in a moment. So he asks him, what's different of this day than any other day? Omar Lo, so Rabbi Akiva answers him, answering a question with a question, as Jews often do. By the way, so I should mention, by the way, I forgot to mention, as far as why with the skull it can happen on Shabbos and it comes up normally, the Oruch HaNer explains because the whole ability of being able to summon the mess, the Gemara explains in that Gemara in Chagiga about Shaul and the witch, is because the mess for figures he's being summoned to the Beis Din Shamayla. So on Shabbos, normally he knows there's no din, so he's not being called to the Beis Din Shamayla. But when the actual skull is there of the mess, then he has no choice but to answer on Shabbos as well. Okay, so anyway, so Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, what's different about Shabbos than any other day? Omalos, so Rabbi Akiva answers him with a question, Umag Varmi Guvrin, how is one person, how are you as person different than every other person? Amalai, Saturnus Rufus says, Demori Tzvi, my master, the emperor, decided to appoint me to this position. That's what makes me important. So Rabbi Akiva tells him, Shabbos Nami, Demori Tzvi, well, the same thing, Shabbos. The master of the world decided that this day should be special. Omaloi, Saturnus Rufus says, fine, I understand that. I understand that Shabbos would be special because Hashem designated it as such. But the question is, Hochi Kaminoloch, mi yema idna Shabbos? Who says that today is Shabbos? Shabbos is after all one out of every 7 days. Maybe you got the days mixed up, and maybe really today is a different day of the week. Which means Marashah is saying he's really including in that three questions. First of all, how do you know that Hashem did in fact rest on that day? Number two, how do you know that that this is the day that He commanded you to rest on? And how do you know that you haven't gotten the days mixed? And how do you know that? So all of it is, how do you know you didn't get mixed up the days? But how do you know that Hashem rested on it? That He told you to rest on it, and that it's Shabbos as far as Menucha L'chayei HaOlamim. So Rabbi Akiva tells him, I'll give you three, and you're asking, in effect, three questions. I'll give you three proofs. Sabbatyon Yechiyach, first of all, you can see the Nahar Sabbatyon, otherwise known as Sambatyon, where it throws up rocks and dirt all week long, but on Shabbos it rests. So Rashi describes it's a river full of stones, and the whole week long it's flowing very strongly, and on Shabbos it's quiet and rests. So you can see that. But in the Medrash, the Medrash also has this dialogue between Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva, and Turnus Rufus says, that's very nice, but now Sambatin is far away from here. You want me to schlep all the way there to prove it? So instead, Rabbi Akiva tells him, fine, I'll give you some other proofs. Baal Oiv Yechiyach, you can also prove it from Baal Oiv, which that Oiv magic, as we just said, doesn't work on Shabbos unless you have the actual skull there. And Kivrei Shel Avim Yechiyach, you can also prove it from your own father's grave. He says to Turnus Rufus, She'ein Mala Oshin B'Shabbos, you'll see that there's smoke coming from it all week long because he's being punished in the fires of Gehenna, but on Shabbos the smoke goes away. On Shabbos, the smoke stops because Gehenna is closed on Shabbos. So again, the idea is Turnus Rufus is challenging him in three ways. So he tells him, Nahar Sambatyon Yechiyach, that you see that ever since Hashem created the world, it rests every Shabbos. Why? Because Hashem himself rested. The Baal Oiv shows that you can't do Melacha now either, just like the Baal Oiv can't do his job on Shabbos, the same way Hashem wants us to rest on Shabbos. And from your father's grave, you see that in Olam Haba, they rest in this day that you see that your father also has rest from his tortures in Gehenna on Shabbos. Omalos, Saturnus Rufus, was very offended by that one, by that last one, that he's saying that his father is suffering in Gehenna. Omalos, he tells him, Bizise biyashte vikilaltoi. Look at that, you've mocked him, you've mocked him, you've embarrassed him, and you've cursed him. A triple expression corresponding to the three things that to the three things that Rabbi Akiva had told him. Okay, fine. So now in this connection, so we were talking about Baal Oiv, so we're talking about it involves consulting the dead. So the Gemara asks, now there's a different one, the Pasuk says. The Pasuk also mentions Dodo Shalamesim. So Shoyal Oiv, Hainu V'Dodo Shalamesim. Isn't Shoyal Oiv and Dodo Shalamesim the same thing? Why is the Torah listing them differently? And Oiv is Chayiv Skila, and Dodo Shalamesim would be only a lav. The answer is Dodo Shalamesim is something else. Kedetanya, V'Dodo Shalamesim, Zeham Mariv Atzmoi, That refers to somebody who starves himself, who fasts, and he goes and stays overnight in a cemetery, so that a spirit of Tumah, the spirit of the Mesim, should rest on him and should tell him things. Rashi explains it means specifically he wants that the shed of the Beis HaKvaris will rest on him and help and be friendly to him and help him with his kishuv in the future. So it's not the actual kishuv itself; it's kind of like a preparation for it by getting the shed to be on his side. By the way, it's for this reason that we have the minhag when we go to the oil. We don't eat beforehand out of respect for the mess, but we do drink something in order that we're not fasting, in order that we don't have this issue of Dirda Shalamesim. Mind you, the Zohar, by the way, anyway, talks about, we say we have it in the minor Lashon, we have a passage from the Zohar where one of the Chachamim asks, Rabbi Yossi, I think, how is it we're not being over on Dirda Shalamesim when we go to Kivrei Tzadikim? And the answer, and the gist of the answer is that the Tzadikim are not Mesim. That Mesim in this connection refers to Rishoyim, B'chayim, Kruyim, Mesim, and then after they're physically dead, they're for sure dead, as opposed to the Tzadikim are always alive. So this whole thing, by the way, gets into the whole matter of spiritualism and seances and Ouija boards and all those kinds of things that people try to do in order to communicate with the dead. We're saying over here that this is not that you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara points out, when Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk about Derech Shel HaMesim and consider what Derech Shel HaMesim involves, that we said it involves fasting and going and staying in a Beis HaKvaris, so the shed will rest on him, Rabbi Akiva would cry, and he would say, then we can learn a kavachoyme, madach, a person who starves himself and makes himself hungry in order that a ruach tuma should rest on him. It works, sure enough, a spirit of tuma, a spirit of that shed rests on him. Hamariv atzmek kedeshi tishol of ruach tara. Then, if a person were to starve himself and fast in order that a spirit of tara of nevuah should come on him, alachas kama v'kama. How much more so that it ought to work? He ought to be able to be able to achieve nevuah that way. Unfortunately, it doesn't work. Avol ma'aseh, but what can we do? Shamanei senu gor mulanu. Our avedus have caused that it doesn't work. That the shechina, that ruach hakodesh and nevuah doesn't rest on us. Shenema, as the pasuk says, ki imam neseichem hoyim avdilim beinechem levein alakechem. As the pasuk says, it's only your avedus that are separating you between you and Hashem. If it weren't for the avoinus, there wouldn't be havdalah. There wouldn't be any separation between a yid and the Eibishter. And it would be possible for a person to bring on himself Ruach HaKodesh with this kind of thing of fasting and doing Maisim like that. Marsha explains, in other words, the vort is that everything a person does creates a ruchniistic thing. We even have in Pirkei Avos that a person does a mitzvah, kernel prak l'dechad, and of course in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it expands on that point a lot more about how a person creates realities of kedusha in the world by what he does for good, and then realities are the other way around when he does the opposite. So now the result is the malochim and the kochas atuma that are created by his averus prevent him from being blocked, the ruach hakodesh from reaching him. But if it weren't for that, then it would, in fact, be possible to have Ruach HaKodesh and to accomplish great things, as the Gemara is going to go on to say now. Amar Rava, Ibo Tzadiki Boru Alma. Rava says in this connection, if the Tzadikim wanted, they could create a whole world. They don't have Averis, so therefore they would have the ability, the Eibishter would give them the ability that they would be able to create a whole world. And then Shenema, the same positive, you are Averis, are separating you from Hashem. But if not for that, you would actually have that ability. So the Gemara gives an example. Rova Bora Gavra. Rova himself created a man. He created a Golem. Pashat. You have many cases, many times in Jewish history when famous tzaddikim created Golomim. So this is one, this is the first example that we know of. Shadre, the Kamedir Abzera. And he sent this person to Rabzera. Have a komishtoi bade. Rab Zera is talking with the person. V'loi have a komahadule, but the person was not answering him, because as much as Rava has the ability to create him, he doesn't have the ability to give him the power of speech. We find similarly by the Maharal's Golem. There's other examples like that where the tzaddik has the ability to create a person with sefer yitzira and other shemus of the Eibishter and things, but not to give it the power of speech. Amalei, so Reb Zera realizes that it's a golem. Min chavrayat, obviously you were created by one of my chaverim. Todol afrach, go back to your dust. There's no real reason for you to exist. You don't need to. Rashi actually explains, we can also read hachavorim, that you were created by the kishuf machers, but the mainstream explanation is it means that he's saying you were created by one of my colleagues. Similarly, the Gemara says, Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia have a yasvi called Malei Shabbosa. Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia, every Erev Shabbos, would sit va'aski b'sefer Yitzira, and they would delve into Sefer Yitzira. And with the koichas of Kedusha, from that, mivri lehu egla tilsa, they would create with that an egla tilsa, a good quality calf, which Rashi has several explanations all over Shas. We have the expression egla tilsa. So Rashi says it means that it was created new, but as if it was already one third of its age, which is the best quality, or that it was tasty as though it was the third one born. There's a couple of different explanations what egla tilsa means, but in any case, it means a high quality calf. But achli lehen, they would eat it l'kavod Shabbos. So this is another example where tzaddikim have the ability to create things using koichos of kedusha.